Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity in sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not even this will cause the Church of Jesus Christ to crumble. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you're still feeling the effects of the gut punch we all received last week when news was reported from Trinity Bible Church in Dallas, Texas, that their preaching pastor, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, had disqualified himself from ministry. The details are scant. Nevertheless, we will trust the godly men at Trinity Bible Church, and we will leave the dissemination of details to their thoughtful, prayerful consideration so that we're not guilty of idle speculation. But we sure did feel like we got bolo punched, didn't we? Whatever the details are, when the mighty fall, it is a painful experience. It is a frightening experience, at least it should be. But I would also suggest to you that this should not be a stumbling block that causes you to be discouraged, to think that you have no hope in the sanctification battle, that you cannot make it to Celestial City without falling irreparably. Even in a season of disappointment and pain and maybe even a little anger mixed in there, we will not be discouraged. Jesus Christ promised he's building his church, and not even a scandal caused by our beloved brother, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, is going to stop Christ's advancement of his kingdom. Let us dive in to the lessons that can be learned. We can't speculate on all of the things that have happened in this scenario because, well, we don't know them, do we? And so this is a bit of a delicate balance that not just I, because I happen to be talking right now, but all of us have to find as we go about the business of discussing this situation. I think it's wrong to say you can't talk about it. Well, I don't see a Bible verse that says that when something hard, troubling happens, even in this type of situation, that you can't talk about it. You can talk about it, but we do have admonitions to be careful how we do that. And so we will seek to find that delicate balance of talking about fallen pastors. And we will talk about Stephen J. Lawson, but only based on what we know. And you say, well, hold on a second. If you're not going to get into the details, then how can we learn any lessons? I think that's a great question. And God has a phenomenal answer. He says, look in the Bible. You don't need to know the details. All we know and need to know is that Dr. Lawson has disqualified himself from being an elder, from being a pastor. That's all we need to know. Now, our sufficient Bible will tell us what we can learn from it. So we don't need to gossip. All we need to do is study the Bible. So let's see if we can find that balance here on Wretched Radio, as we have all been, no doubt, pondering and recovering to a degree from the gut punch felt round the world. Was texting with a buddy who was in Romania on a missions trip of some sort, preaching, and he said that the believers in Romania are reeling. This has been felt around the globe. And no doubt you're still feeling it too. And so it's my hope that this conversation about a subject we'd rather not be discussing will be something that the Word of God can help you recover from and still be confident. Don't let this deter you. Don't be deceived by the deceiver in this situation, which is perhaps the one word that I keep returning to as I consider the fall of Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. There have been a lot of people commenting, some people commenting well. I have some of those comments. They're excellent. Some, rather heartbreakingly, are rather disappointing in their assessment of the situation. I keep coming back to one thought, and I know that it's been tapped on a little bit if you've been following the story at all, but for me, this is the word that just continues to just keep going. This answers the question, how did this happen? Now, we don't know the heart of Stephen J. Lawson. We're not going to probably be his biblical counselor. We're going to leave this to his elders. We need to remember that first and foremost, this is a local church elder issue. And we need to honor and we need to respect their ability to deal with this rightly. So we'll learn details as they determine to disclose them. But without them, I still keep coming back to this one word. Here it is, deceitfulness. Deceitfulness. How does a man like Stephen J. Lawson, who preaches the word ferociously, who is theologically astute, accurate, and high-minded, how does he find himself in disqualifying sin? And this is where I think we can all learn. And I can't help but, as much as I dislike it, focus on the deceitfulness of sin and the ability of Satan to lie and deceive. And this is something that we can all learn. And that is why I think we would do well to heed all of the Bible warnings about the deceitfulness of sin. Steve Lawson is going to be dealt with by his elders. You and I, however, should be provoked into doing what the Bible says we should do on occasion. We need to examine ourselves and we need to take heed lest we too shall fall. And if right now you just said, I don't need to take heed, then I would suggest to you, you probably more than anybody need to take heed because that's the deceitfulness of sin. We all get it. Okay, deceitfulness. It's deceptive. It's a liar. Let's just drill down a little bit. In our Sunday school class at Alpharetta Bible Church, Pastor Mike, just rocking it. We're learning about the theology of David from the Psalms. And we've actually spent 2 weeks on Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is David's celebration of God's creative power that he speaks 24/7 through his creation. But then he turns a corner and he even turns tone. It goes almost from kind of a general, almost poetic type of presentation about the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they speak without saying a word. Their line goes out to the ends of the earth. In other words, God is preaching constantly through the creation, but then he gets to the word. And he starts talking about what the word is, and he uses the Bible, different phrases, I believe 6 times. And then David, after talking about the importance of focusing and studying on the Bible, learning scripture, memorizing all of the benefits that come from it. Well, for instance, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. So if you want to be wise, study the Bible. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You want to rejoice? Study your Bible. The fear of the Lord is clean. That's another term for the Bible. It's pure. It's perfect. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than they are than gold. Yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And keeping them there is great reward. Now, here come the two verses that should jump off of the page of this psalm. Who can understand his own errors? Uh-oh. What is that about? It's about you and me. That the heart is deceitful and wicked. Above all things, desperately sick. Who can know it? And even though we have been given a new heart with new desires, we still have a flesh that is clinging to us. cleanse me. This is David pondering the creation, pondering God's word. He turns to introspection and he says, cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. The deceitfulness of sin. This is David. I don't know if it happened before or after his fall, but this is David talking about our hearts and how they can be so deceived. Who can understand his own errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. In other words, sin is going to deceive you. Sin tricks you, and you don't even know that it's happening to you. That's how wily Satan is. You don't feel it. You don't think you're slipping. I am certain if we could talk to Steve at this moment, he'd say, I thought I was doing okay. I was out there doing it. I was preaching. I was preaching on Sunday mornings, doing the Lord's work. I was studying. I was teaching here. I was going there, doing missions trips. And he was deceived. And you and I can be too. And that, perhaps, if we learn nothing else and gain nothing else from this tragedy, it is understanding the deceitfulness of sin in our own hearts. This is Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul expressed profound gratitude for their support. In just a few short weeks, we'll be launching the most ambitious initiative in our ministry's history, a groundbreaking platform designed to resource and equip local churches more effectively than ever before. To every gospel partner listening right now, your impact reaches far beyond what you might imagine. You're not standing on the sidelines. You're right here with us, advancing God's kingdom every single day. Stay tuned for the big reveal of our new platform and let us continue this incredible journey together. And if you want to be an even bigger part of this exciting mission, then let me point you to wretched.org/donate, where you can learn how to become a gospel partner right now. And together we'll be empowering churches and changing lives through the transformative power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us today, wretched.org/donate.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can I trust anybody? Perhaps a better question is, can I trust myself? This is Wretched Radio, all reeling still, the gut punch of the news of Dr. Stephen J. Lawson disqualifying himself from pastoral ministry, as he is in the pantheon of evangelical preachers that we all respect and admire and have learned from and grown from. We perhaps are asking the question, who? Can I trust my pastor? Can I trust that ministry? A question we will tackle later, because I think the more important question that we should be asking is, can I trust myself? And the answer to that is, I don't think so. And it's not because I know you, it's because I'm reading the Bible, and the Bible tells me that sin is so deceitful, the heart is so wicked. David in Psalm 19, keep me from the deceitfulness of sin, self-deception. The Bible is replete with warnings about the deceitfulness of sin, and that means the best of us, if you will, can fall under its power and sway, and we don't even know what's happening to us. It just sneaks up on us, and all of a sudden, what happened here? It's kind of like the scale in my house. Friel, we're not going to talk about your weight issues, are we? Well, just for a moment, the deceitfulness of sin, there's also the deceitfulness of the scale. Here's how it works. I jump on the scale on any given week. I'm not on it daily. I just jump on it whenever. And I look at the numbers, and I will sometimes conclude, okay, I'm in the zone. I'm good to go. And then Mrs. Friel makes her blueberry lemon almond cake. Oh, for church on Sunday. Okay, you want to know what kind of a sinner I am? At church on Sunday, Mrs. Friel, for Bible study, brought this amazing, it's a coffee cake. It's like, wow, it is so good. I would tell people, I tried that. I wouldn't do that one. So that I could have more when I got home. Why did I think that I could have a second and maybe a third piece of that delicious cake? Well, because I remember what the scale said. I'm doing okay. And then we got home and Mrs. Friel made some chili. And I had a bowl. It was, okay, she probably put too much in my bowl. But I thought to myself, the scale said I'm okay. Now look at what has happened in the course of 24 hours of jumping on that scale. I deceived myself into thinking I could eat just a little bit more than I should, have more sweets than I really should consume. Why? Because I deceived myself that I'm doing okay. And if I just do it once or twice, it's not going to make that much of a deal. But the problem is, it's just always once or twice in my mind. But by the time I'm going to get to Friday, it will have been like 10 times. And whoa, then I'm going to jump on the scale and do what I'll often do. How did I pick up 7 pounds? What in the world? What happened here? The deceitfulness of the scale, the deceitfulness of sin operates likewise. You deceive yourself. You think you're doing all right. And you say, well, I don't think I do that. That's because it's deceptive. That's because you don't perceive it. You don't know that it's happening. You ever been horseback riding? If you're a regular rider, you maybe even remember this. You go on a trail ride where the horses, they just get in line and just woefully walk the trail. But as you get about halfway through, inevitably the tour guide, the leader says, all right, everybody, got to check your saddles. Why? Because along the way, they can loosen up and he needs to re-cinch them, especially if the horse distended its stomach when he first tightened it up so that when he went back to normal stomach posture, it wasn't as tight. But along the way, as you're walking along, you don't perceive it, but the cinch can be getting loose. And that is what can happen to you in your Christian walk. I think I'm doing, you're on top of the saddle. You don't feel it getting loose down there. You don't feel any slippage or slidage yet. But then all of a sudden, maybe it's a little loose, but it's okay. I'm okay. I trust the guy who's leading the way. It should be okay. And the next thing you know, you slide off the horse. And you don't even know what hit you. Why? Because the cinch is deceptive. It's, you don't know. And that's what sin does. I don't know how it works. I really don't. The Bible talks about categories, wisdom, evil, sin, almost as if they have their own properties. I don't think they do, but the psalmist talks about evil like it's a thing and that evil does stuff. And wisdom will also do stuff for you. And here's what sin will do. Deceives you. It no doubt deceives Steve Lawson. Or he's a false convert. And that's not an issue that is up to you and me to decide. We are operating, of course, until further notice, we're operating under the believing the best that he's a brother. So we see something like this, and we can conclude without gossiping and getting into the details, our brother was deceived. The Bible is replete with warnings. Let's take a look at Hebrews 3:13, shall we? Encourage one another. How often? Daily. Every single day. Encourage one another so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It hardens, not just like that glue that they show on TV where the guy makes a boat out of cardboard or something like that. It's just glued together because it's insta glue, super glue, monster glue. It's quick. Nope, it's not how sin works. It progressively, imperceptibly hardens you. And the cure is given to us by Bob, the author of Hebrews. Encourage one another daily. If you're scared right now and you're worried about you taking a spiritual header, this is what we can also learn from the Steve Lawson story. Be in a local church. I can't stress this enough. Right after I think about the importance of understanding the deceitfulness of sin, I keep running to, we got to be in a safe place. We've got to be in a safe place. I don't know the details of Steve. I do know that he was on the road a lot and he traveled a lot. And later on, we can talk about some of the practical measures that I think people can take to keep themselves from having this type of an experience. Those are practical things. Those I don't think are nearly as important as the spiritual lessons that we can learn and getting to the heart of the issue, which is the issue of the heart. I'm not sure that Steve was involved in the life of his church on the regs. And I think that puts you in the danger zone, because you need to be encouraged daily. We need to be doing this for one another. We don't know how deceitful our hearts are. If you can't figure out how deceitful or deceived your heart is, how are you going to know? And the answer to that question is your brothers and sisters will help you. This is what it's all about, yo. It's about being in a family in the context of a local church where we're doing what? Exhorting one another, encouraging one another, rebuking one another, loving one another, serving one another, being tenderhearted with one another. That's the context of the local church. And that is why we need to be in a local church. If you're not currently a member of a local church, I understand physical issues. I get it. I'm not aiming this arrow at you. But if you're just, well, you know, we stopped going with COVID and we just haven't gotten back. Get back to it. Get back to it. You need to be in a local church. If you're not in a local church, you are in the danger zone. Right next to Kenny Loggins. James 1:14. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Not going to get into the details of that to preach a sermon, but we see a progression of sin. And that's how sin deceives. Little ground here, another 10 yards there. Oop, we just picked up 20. It just keeps on chipping away. That's what sin does. 2 Corinthians 11, a warning, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. This is, I think, there might be more, but it's definitely top three lessons that we can learn from Steve Lawson. John 8, 44, Jesus said about Satan, when he lies, he speaks his native language, which is funny because it brings to mind some political commercials I've been seeing. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Okay, so here's a psalm that talks about evil almost as if it's a thing. He lies in wait like a lion that is starving for blood. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them away so that they don't know where to turn. That's what sin does. The local church, Trinity Bible Church in Dallas, they're going to deal with Steve's sin, and I trust they'll do what is right. But let us learn. Let us learn from this, that we are not deceived by the deceitfulness of sin, that we need one another so that we can together take heed lest any of us fall. And if we can walk away with that lesson, that'll be a good thing. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, recently in an interview on MSNBC, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton made some comments about Americans who share information online. Those comments, well, she suggested that those who spread what she deems is, quote, Russian propaganda could potentially face civil or even criminal charges. Here it comes, folks. You know, I'm not a legal expert, but America has the First Amendment, not the First Amendment with an asterisk. Former presidential candidate was promoting her book, Something Lost, Something Gained, and what was lost was perhaps her copy of the Constitution. Moving on now to, well, a move that is sure to freshen up their corporate image, Bath & Body Works, that is. They've announced their DEI initiatives are now at the heart of everything they do. When so many in corporate America are actually running away from DEI initiatives, Bath & Body Works are running toward them. Because who wants to buy soap without a lecture on intersectionality? The company even hired a chief DEI officer last year, and claiming that this focus will help them better respect all identities and remove barriers. I just did not realize there were barriers to buying overpriced candles and body wash, but what do I know? Am I the only one that sees the issue here? Surely not. I mean, it just seems common sense that instead of worrying about how many boxes you can check, if you would focus on making quality products at a reasonable price, you'll succeed. But I guess that's just oversimplistic. Moving on to the Democratic governor in the state of Kentucky, that's Andy Beshear, who has issued an executive order banning so-called conversion therapy for minors who identify as LGBTQ. The order prohibits any practice that seeks to change an individual's sexual orientation or gender identity. In entertainment news, the Emmys have made history by nominating a biological male for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a limited series. I'm pretty sure I know what an actress, well, I guess used to know what an actress was, but not anymore, apparently, not in the 2024 edition of Hollywood. And moving to the Department of Health and Human Services, who is investigating the Cleveland Clinic over allegations of racial discrimination. The inquiry stems from the clinic's Minority Stroke Program and Minority Men's Health Center. It's old-fashioned, I know, but wasn't the goal of medicine to treat all patients equally regardless of their race? And the Washington Institute of Law and Liberty, which filed the complaint, argues these programs discriminate against white individuals. And the clinic claims its mission is to care for all individuals regardless of their ethnicity. Yet they have specific programs targeting minority groups. It's like you're saying, we don't do that, but don't look over here, look over there. And you're probably more confused by the telling of that story than if I would have never told you at all. That's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, we're not done. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson disqualifying himself from eldership, from pastoral ministry, sending shockwaves around the world and probably right into your guts. Oh, it was a bolo punch. And while we take time to be sad about it, and I understand the confusion that can follow when one of the greats falls, when one who is in the panoply of preachers that we all admire takes a tumble, we just don't seem to have a category for that. You just don't. There's some people that will take some sort of sin and disqualify themselves, and you'd go, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I get that. Steve Lawson? You got a category for that? I don't either. And I'm not going to be able to really figure that out by speculating and guessing. That's just, it's unhealthy. It's unhelpful. And I think it's unscriptural. We'll let Trinity Bible Church disclose things. We're going to honor this as a local church issue, but it is a... It's not a national story. It's an international story because so many people loved Steve Lawson, still do love him, I hope. Which, by the way, to answer the question, and we're going to be working through this a lot. There's many things to consider here. What do we do with his teachings? Can I still listen to him? What about the other ministries out there? Should they exist? Should there be guys like Steve Lawson in the first place? Well, what about the speaking circuit? What about the major conferences? What about parachurch ministries, even like this one? What about my pastor? We're going to try to answer all of those questions, but perhaps let's answer the question about Steve Lawson. What do we do? Well, what we need to do is wait and see what happens. I know you're perhaps anxious for it. I feel that. We got to wait. That's all. We just have to wait. And should be our prayer that Steve fully repents and bears the fruit of repentance. That I hope will be seen. And we'll trust Trinity Bible Church to make that plain. But our hearts towards Steve, we need to be careful. I've already seen some people just kicking the dog while he's down. We want to be careful of that. Do you recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was dismayed that there was sexual sin inside of the church. What are you? Why haven't you set this guy out? What is going? This was the sin of the fellow being intimate with his father's wife. What is going on there? That was a storyline. There were also some other people inside of the church because there were. We don't just have 1 and 2 Corinthians. We also have the severe letter, which is missing, which apparently was written to bring about the repentance of the guy who is sinning with his father's wife. This might be in view in 2 Corinthians 2. It might also be the guy who was the thorn in Paul's flesh. If it was indeed it was a human being thorn as opposed to a physical malady thorn. Whoever it was, Paul writes some words for us that should guide our hearts. And if I could toss this in, and I'm sorry to have to do this, but I don't read a ton of comments and critiques of us, but occasionally, and this is such a big story, I've heard some people saying, hey, how come you're not going after Steve like you go after everybody else? Well, honestly, we don't go after everybody else. And when we do go after somebody, have I perhaps not met this standard along the way? Perhaps. But as I stand here, I feel pretty confident in saying when we go after other teachers, it's over theology. It's not over these types of earth-shattering, rather sordid events. There's an awful lot of opportunity to do that. Believe me, there's plenty of, and we just don't take those opportunities. And so talking about Steve, yeah, we're going to talk about it, but you should actually know if you're thinking, well, why aren't you just hammering that guy? We don't even talk about all the bad teachers that fall. So talking about Steve, it ain't fun. I love Steve Lawson. You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at his Christmas card that he sent. Dr. and Mrs. Stephen J. Lawson. It's not fun to talk about him. And if you happen to be somebody who is thinking, well, you're going soft on him because he's one of your own. Well, you know, I can't deny that that might not be a part of my heart. I think you can understand that. But I would also just encourage you to consider when horrible things like this happen, It's not our bag. It's theology. So when we talk about other teachers that we are critical of, it's because they're false teachers. Back to 2 Corinthians. Somebody had been sinning grievously. Paul is now writing, and you kind of get it. Remember, we've got to put ourselves in the sandals of the original audience. This is 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5. I'm not overstating it. I'm using the NLT just because it'll hopefully save some time. I'm not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt your entire church more than he hurt me. So Paul's writing, look, I was hurt by this guy. You are profoundly hurt by this guy. I get it. He was punished enough when most of you were united in your judgment against him. So apparently they practiced some form of church discipline, and the guy repented. Now it's time to forgive him and comfort him. Otherwise, he may become so discouraged that he won't be able to recover. Now show him that you still love him. Now, time is going to reveal how Steve responds to this. But I've seen this. I know this to be true. When a man who is beloved in our circles takes a tumble, they get abandoned. And there could be times when that is appropriate if the individual is unrepentant. But I've seen it when repentant men who've wept over their sin of disqualification have simply been shunned by the church. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. And that's how we should be thinking about Steve. This is grievous. There's not just one emotion in this. There's not just one consideration. It's grievous. But you've got a man and you've got a wife. I'm looking at her right now. She's scalded right now. She's got kids, grandkids. Daughter works at his ministry. Oof. We're going to love and we're going to pray for until we are given reason to do otherwise. Permit me to return to what the Bible has to say about the deceitfulness of sins. And please note, we are going to take a broader look at this, but we're not going to do it. We're going to try to do this somewhat methodically. And I'm perhaps belaboring this point, but I think you and I, if we skate past this one, we are making a massive, massive mistake. In fact, it's been kind of busy since the Steve Lawson thing happened. We're getting ready to launch the rebranding of the ministry. This is going to be a big deal next week. It's a really big deal. We've been dealing with the website and the content, all that stuff, not to mention preaching Sunday morning at church. It's been busy. And thinking about this and studying about the subject of the deceitfulness of sin. But I have not yet taken the time to do what I'm encouraging you to do. But I would encourage you to do what I'm planning to do. I want to find some time to sit alone and think. And I want to try to take a very honest, as best I can, with my heart that can deceive. How am I doing in my Bible reading? How am I doing in my prayer time? How am I doing with my eyes? How am I doing with my pride? How am I doing with honoring the Lord? How am I doing with my communing with my Savior? How am I doing with my wife, my kids, my neighbor, my coworkers, people? How am I doing? And you got to take some time to do that. You got to, please do it. Please do it. And then if you can, I might encourage you to let others get into your heart. Because yours is a trickster. You're always, just like mine, you're bound to give yourself the benefit of the doubt. And this is why we need one another. This, man, if the hokey pokey is about anything else, the church is about this issue. That we're in this thing together. We are marching to Celestial City together. I want to get there. I want you to get there. Let's get there together. We need one another because the heart is deceitful. And sin is so deceitful. This is warnings replete on this. 2 Corinthians, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. How does he do it? Don't know, but he's good at it. In other words, he deceives them. They hear the gospel and they, I'll deal with this later. Jesus didn't, the Roman Catholic Church. Somehow he's able to deceive and blind unbelievers' minds so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. In other words, when James and Peter say he's a roaring lion and he's seeking to devour, he's seeking to devour you. He got a prize with Steve Lawson, didn't he? And he is high-fiving the devils, probably still. Don't let that happen to you. Be in a church. Take heed. Examine yourself. And let others do likewise as we continue learning lessons from... Who would have thought we'd be talking about this? Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, a secular university without the, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever pondered how many lives could be transformed if your car radio became a vehicle for worldwide gospel proclamation? Well, that's exactly what happens when you become a gospel partner with Wretched. And your monthly gift does not just keep the lights on around here, though we do appreciate not having to work in the dark. It ignites truth across the globe. Whether it's Transformed, which tackles real life struggles, or it's Road Trip to Truth, which equips the next generation, your support fuels a gospel revolution. And here's the kicker. We're not wasting your money on private jets or gold-plated microphones. As members of the ECFA, 83% of every dollar goes directly to ministry. So what do you say? Are you ready to partner with us in reaching the lost and strengthening the local church? Become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today by visiting wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs. And if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging. And I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dr. Stephen J. Lawson is the subject du jour. This is Wretched Radio, the fall of Dr. Stephen Lawson. The ripples are still being felt aren't they? And we're feeling them here at Wretched Radio, and we are trying to be wise. We're trying to be biblical. We're trying to be godly in learning what we can and leaving that which we can't up to Trinity Bible Church. I do believe that it is correct to talk about the situation. It can be a sin, but it doesn't have to be a sin. But we need to know that we have limitations in our knowledge of Steve's situation, but we have all the knowledge that we need in the Bible to learn from it. So I don't need to know everything about the Steve story. What I need to know is that a godly man fell. What does the Bible teach us about this? And that's something that we can learn. And as we do learn this, my encouragement is, even though you are still feeling the bolo punch of the news of Steve Lawson, I'm there with you. Believe me, I'm there with you. I haven't exited that season of sorrow myself. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Jesus Christ knows what he's doing. I know that his lovely name is being blasphemed because of it. I know that. So does he. And he is still the sovereign God who rules. And he is still the one who promised, I will build my church. The gates of hell, a scandal from a beloved pastor, will not overcome it. And you don't have to be scared. I wish we could all do all of the things that I think could be helpful to be said in 10 minutes. I just don't think we can. So we're going to take our time here. Not because it's a ratings bonanza. That's not what we want to use this for. We want to discuss it. And I hope, I really do hope, you'll send emails and you can critique my critique or observations. Why? Because this Christian life is to be done together. And that is why when I see so much squabbling on the internet machine, like, y'all, we're supposed to be helping each other here. Let's aim our arrows at those who deserve it. False teachers. We aim our arrows. Not we could spend all day every day talking about false teachers and bad preachers. We can do that. We can mark those false teachers outside of orthodoxy. Let's do that. But for those who are in the faith, we should be working to try to, hey, whoa, brother, hey, let me help you here. Hey, I read what you said. Let me offer this Bible verse. That's what we should be doing. And wow, couldn't we be modeling something for the world? So we will talk about all of the other ancillary issues. But for me, the big one and two, the deceitfulness of sin and the importance of you being in the local church. A man's heart, who can know it? It's like a deep well. And somebody who's godly can take a bucket and get down there and pull it up. That means you need a bucket dropper in your life. You need somebody that you can disclose sins to. This is not a game. The devil is a roaring lion, prowling about, seeking to devour you. He got one. He got a big game with Steve Lawson. Think he doesn't want to get you because, well, you're not as known as Steve, so he has no interest in you. Well, that isn't what Peter or James thought when he warned us, be careful. Don't mess with this. We need each other. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. What do we do? Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He is better at scheming than you are at deceiving. I don't care if you are the king of the discernment ministries. The devil is better at deceiving than you are at recognizing deceit. And yourself especially. This is not a game. I'm imagining the buckets of tears Steve Lawson is shedding. This isn't a discussion for the sake of clicks or gotcha or boy, look at how smart I am. This is as earnest a situation as we can be confronted with. Can you think of one greater? We've seen a lot of preachers take tumbles here over the course of 24 years. I can't remember one bigger. Can you? Let's learn from this. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. 2 Corinthians 2:11, be sober-minded, because Satan can outwit you. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Schemer, he's witty. He knows how to do stuff. And you're saying, well, tell me how he does it. I don't know. And that's the problem. I don't know how he does it. I don't know what his operational powers are. But what I know is he's a liar. He's a schemer. He's a deceiver. And that means because he's more powerful than I certainly am, I should be aware. I'm not going to be terrified of him, because what do we have in our Savior Jesus Christ? We have one who is greater. We have one who is stronger. We have one who is more powerful. So I don't. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. We don't have to walk in terror, but we shouldn't be naive. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Those who are disobedient probably don't know they're being disobedient. I'm sure Steve had moments, but Steve didn't know what was going on inside of his heart. And you won't either. Well, then what am I supposed to do? Be an open book, for starters. Have some people in your life. Be in your local church. If you're in your local church on the regs, it's pretty tough to get away with scandal. Pretty tough. Because it's one thing, I think, to fool your wife, maybe even your kids. But man, when you got like 100 people that are in your mess, I would think that would just be exhausting to be playing that masquerade so often. 1 Timothy 3:6, the individual who's an elder, qualified, must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. In other words, pride is what the devil is, and pride is a sin that can take us down too. 1 John 5:19, we know we are children of God, that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. I'm doing okay. I don't need this guy. You're belaboring the point, Friel. Move on. The whole world. Don't be deceived. But don't be scared. Don't be scared. Get yourself in order. Start by letting people be involved in your life. If you're living secretively, it's time to stop. It's time to get it cleaned up. You'll go down, Jack, because he doesn't discriminate. He delights in your fall. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And who's in charge of the world? That's right. The evil one, 1 John 5:19. The progressive nature of sin. Here it is in James chapter 1. When tempted, nobody should say, God's tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away. It's a process by their own evil desire. Then they're enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. It's not done. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Devil ain't playing. And we shouldn't be either. But we're not going to be defeated, trembling, discouraged believers either. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God, and you've overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You've got everything you need to not take a header. You got everything you need. You've got the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. You've got the Word of God in a nice binder, probably with a nifty leather cover. And you got a local church. Be in it. Be in the Word. Remember Psalm 19? How can I know my heart? The answer is others need to help you, and the Word will reveal it to you. If you need some cinching up, let the Steve Lawson tragedy provoke that. It'll be a good thing. It really will be a good thing. This could be a cleansing for the church. This could be a help for so many pastors. And it can actually advance your sanctification. But if there's a hole in your holiness, be alert, be of sober mind, but don't be scared. You've got weaponry, and you do not have to succumb to the wiles of the devil. You don't have to. But if you're playing, and if you're not in a safe place in your local church, I plead with you today. Don't make what appears to be the similar mistake. Be a serving member in your local church. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.